Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Amen, amen. Grace and peace, everyone. Shalom, shalom.
Amen. Shalom, amen. Family.
Shalom,
shalom,
Israelites. It's a light.
Here I am.
Hello.
Hello.
Shalom.
Hey,
shalom.
Mary.
Hey.
Shalom. Hey, how you doing? We
are
blessed. Blessed. No complaints, especially after that lesson last night.
Nope.
No complaints.
We're good.
We're good.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen. Well, hey, let's get started. Welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Joe of Israel, the Commonwealth of Israel. Tonight is the Thursday night edition of the Sounds of Living Waters. That is to say, we got the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study class on deck with your brother Isaiah Brown coming out of Peoria, Illinois. He ready to bring this precept, y'all. He ready to bring this precept called the precept is the tares and the best wheat. Tares and the best wheat. All right.
Amen.
Now, and helping them bearing the armor tonight is your brother Nakomi Swanson, aka Lil Israel. Nehemiah Israel of the Nation of Peace.
Right.
Hey, out of Minneapolis, bringing what?
That kingdom stay in mind.
Hey, he's reading tonight. Hey, shalom, Israelite.
Shalom. Peace, shalom, everybody.
Oh, there he go.
I turn it over to my host. Shalom.
All right, shalom, family. Hey, grace and peace. Grace and peace, all praise to the Father. Thank you for tuning in to the Bible Blog Talk Show, to the Spirit of Meekness and Charity. I pulled one of your things, man. I had to listen to some music, listen to some nice old instrumental beats and stuff like that. Drink my coffee, man. I'm feeling good. I might start doing this more often because it got me saucy tonight. You know, definitely for the precept and stuff, man. But grace and peace, family. Grace and peace, and thank you for tuning in. And you know, the precept today, you know, it's gonna be a mega U-turn on how it was brought forth to us or how we were taught and stuff like that. Because you know, a lot of times, you know, in the precept, we gotta understand, you know, we use a lot of precepts in good ways. I can't take that from people who use it in that light. You know, we talk about the people that go to church on Sunday and stuff like that, and we saw what try to throw them in as tares and stuff like that. When when you when you're reading the Bible, when you talk about the wheat and the tares. You know, a lot of us bring that information just strictly towards, you know, the people that go to church on Sunday. But, you know, when dealing with the Bible Blog Talk Show that we're on tonight, to Spirit, Meekness, and Charity, and also to the Sounds of Living Water, the Most High has given us the understanding that a lot of things the Bible was talking about are those who know the Israel, those that keep the law, those who attend the Sabbath day and stuff like that and know those type of things. We also got to understand just because a brother or sister do those things does not necessarily mean that they are straight. Because remember what the prophet Jude said. He said, "Some crept in unawares." So if they crept in unawares, brothers and sisters, that means that you're going to have people who know the truth but going to be phony as hell. They're going to know the truth and they ain't going to be necessarily straight. They're going to know the truth but causing havoc, whispering, backbiting, anger, bitter, frustration, bringing a whole nine yards to the congregation. We also have to understand that this is also a part of the scriptures too. And to be honest, we should have just called this precept the tares in the truth. That's what we should have called it. Because the things we're talking about ain't nothing to, you know, it's a life for those that's really trying to do this thing right on how to observe and how to look at other things that's according to the pages of the book. You know, and to observe when you're out in the streets, when you're out and about, if you're out in the classes, you know, to keep your eye and keep your main focus and understand that the people you surround yourself with, have they crept in unawares? We got to sit back and consider that too. You know, because we can throw a full-blown precept together about people that go to church on Sunday, but we got to understand one or two scriptures can tear down their whole entire dynasty. The book is talking about those that do know. So once we understand the metaphor that Jesus Christ brought forth in the book of Matthew is about the wheat and the tares separating them, we should understand, metaphorically speaking, that he is talking about those that's in the truth who hopped on the bandwagon but pretended. Ain't always talking about those that go to church on Sunday. So we need to understand that light very well. We need to understand that light. But we got to also understand, we got to make sure that we're not doing the things that the tares do. We got to make sure, you know, that our surroundings is okay. You can't get rid of them, but don't be stupid. So I'm going to start this out of the Lord's Prayer. Dear Brother Nakomi can read whatever the Father put on his heart. So all sisters, please cover your head, face east towards Jerusalem. Brothers, please uncover your head, face east towards Jerusalem. And let's pray in.
Brother Isaiah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say this before you get started, that everybody please mute your lines out. Please mute your lines. All the lines are open, but we definitely need those muted out, okay? So I just wanted to say that before you got started.
Okay, amen. All right, sisters, please cover your head. All brothers, please uncover your head. And if possible, let's face east towards Jerusalem so we can pray in. After this man, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Wisdom shall praise herself, and shall glory in the midst of her people. In the congregation of the Most High shall she open her mouth, and triumph before his power. I came out of the mouth of the Most High and covered the earth as a cloud. I dwelt in high places, and my throne is in a cloudy pillar. I alone can pass the circuit of heaven and walk in the bottom of the deep, in the waves of the sea and in all the earth, and in every people and nation I got a possession. With all these I sought rest, and in whose inheritance shall I abide? So the creator of all things gave me a commandment, and he that made me caused my tabernacle to rest and said, let thy dwelling be in Jacob and thy inheritance in Israel. He created me from the beginning before the world. In the holy tabernacle I served before him, and so was I established in Zion. I have read Ecclesiastes chapter 24, verses 1 through 10. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Great script, bro, great script. And one more time, bro, thank you for being able to be my armor bearer for tonight for the Bible Blog Talk Show. Thank you. All right, brothers and sisters, it's time for us to take these scriptures off the shreds, and as always, peel razor blades of liberty. And tonight, in case we have any new listeners tuning in, the name of the precept is called The Weed and the Tares. You know, but the precept is more focused on the tares. And the reason why I want to put more focus on the tares is so that we can understand how to observe a better identifier when it comes to servants of God, when it comes to those who's acting fake and phony. You know, because we just can't throw the whole load on the people who don't even believe on the Sabbath day. We also got to understand about the ones who call themselves believing on the Sabbath day and still acting all type of unrighteous manners. We need to understand that that's a part of this thing too. So what we're going to do is pick this thing up in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. The book of Matthew, chapter 13. The book of Matthew, chapter 13. And what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 24. And we're going to read verses 24 through 30. The book of Matthew 13, 24 through 30. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Matthew 13, 24, starting at verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, least while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let them grow, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat unto my barn.
Amen, 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 amen. Give me 1 second, because I actually forgot to put some stuff in here. I had to find it out right now. But yeah, man, you know what I'm saying? So this is Jesus Christ breaking down this parable of the wheat and the tares. You know what I'm saying? So you're going to have, so just breaking this thing down metaphorically and breaking down the parable that Jesus Christ brought forth on the table to show the disciples. He is showing them that just because people understand, Just because certain people surround themselves around those in the truth does not necessarily mean that they are straight. You know, you're going to have some crept in. You're going to have some that's playing the funk. You're going to have some that think that they can deceive people into and making them believe that they are doing what's right and what's true. But the book is telling us that, man, these people crept in unaware. They crept in unaware. So just because you go to class on a Sabbath day, or if you got so many people surrounding yourself around you, you still got to be careful. You got to make sure whatever spirit they got latched on them, you don't want to latch out on you. So you got to be careful. So it's very necessary to understand this parable that Jesus Christ is bringing to the table. But what we're going to do is skip down to verse 38. If you can read verses 38 through 42, so the Most High can break this parable down for us. When you get it, go ahead and read.
38. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Right, so now this is Jesus Christ breaking down this thing for us. In verse 38, it says, the field is the world, the good seed and the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. So we need to understand this right here. In verse 38, at the bottom of verse 38, if it said that the tares are the children of the wicked one, but remember how the Most High broke down the parable of the tares and the wheat. He said they grew in together. So if they grew in together, metaphorically speaking, that they are amongst one another. The wicked is among the righteous. But the Lord is telling you, man, you can't, I'm not going to allow y'all to tear these people off the pieces because it's a chance that you're going to snatch up those that are doing right. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to let them all kick it in together. They all will kick it in together. And at that time appointed, the fake, hypocritical, so-called serving me people will be tossed like a fire. But if you pay close attention to what the book is saying at the bottom of verse 38, it said, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. So you mean to tell me the wicked one have those that's lingering around people in the truth? So just because they go to the class in the truth or whatever way you do your thing does not necessarily mean everybody is straight. Because the wicked one have children too. So I think it's very important to take heed and understand that this thing plays a bigger hand than just thinking this is talking about some little nitty-gritty little Sunday thing. We need to understand that it's a lot greater and bigger, and through the grace of God, at the end of this precept, we will understand that. But if it says that you got the wheat and tares that grew in together, then it's very proper and very necessary for us to go into the book of Jude, chapter 1, so the prophet Jude can take, so he can check us out on a couple of things. So let's go in the book of Jude. It's only one chapter, chapter 1, the book of Jude, chapter 1. And what we're going to do is pick this thing up at verse 3. We're going to read verses 3 through 4. 3 through 4, the book of Jude, chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. If you're going to skip, when you get it, big bro, go ahead and read.
Jude. Chapter 1, starting at the 3.
Amen.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
So that's why I think it's very proper and necessary to understand that this conversation is a lot bigger than this little small thing we use it for, like the people that go to church on Sundays. Because I'm going to say it before I say it again. We were talking about the wheat and tares growing up together. But then we just read the book of Jude. The book of Jude said that there were certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. So they were ordained to what? They were ordained to come. So the book is constantly telling you that when you think you're doing what's right, you think you've gathered up together with some righteous people, the book is trying to show us to still keep your eye out on everybody that's around you. Because just because they go to your class don't mean that all of them is straight. We got to understand that. We really do got to understand that. And what really stuck out like a sore thumb for me in verse 3, it said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, what I want to look at is this right here in the top of it. It said, when I gave all diligence. The word diligence is very careful and doing something with great zeal. So this is not something that he saw one day. You know what I'm saying? oh man, they playing it, they playing in the book. Okay, well that's just one time. Let's just write this up in here. No. If you look at how this conversation is going, he checking everything out. And I'm gonna do this thing with straight zeal to show the servants to look out for certain people who playing in the book. So I'm real careful how I'm writing this thing. And I'm doing this with great zeal to show my brothers and my sisters that you're going to have those who's going to creep in unawares. So what we're going to do is skip down to verse 10. We're going to skip down to verse 10. And we're going to read verses 10 through 12 so we can get the rest of this understanding out of this script. Verses 10 through 12. When you get it, big bro, go ahead and read.
Jude 1, starting at the 10th. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perish in the gainsaying of Kori. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withered without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots.
Now we gotta understand this thing. And, that's why I just wanna look at this thing as in a bigger picture. You know? Because it said that they crept in unawares. And then the book told us that they speak of evil things they know not. So that's an identifier. So if somebody bring up the Apocrypha, you know, I understand that they could be doing it through ignorance and, you know, be patient with them and stuff like that. I ain't saying just to automatically bash and hate them, but, you know, but bring the conversation to them. But we need to understand that certain things that we talk about and things that we look at could be in the woes. You know, because, you know, we speak against, you know, fringes. We speak against the Apocrypha. You know, and how the feast days is properly set up to understand that in order for you to get a month is 30 days. You know, so I'm not saying that this fit the whole script of what we're doing, but at the same point in time is we still need to check it out and understand that it is a woe to speak against those things. It is a woe, but they speak evil, like brute beasts. When it comes to the Gentiles, ruthless, wicked things, cussing people out, smiting with the fist, pointing the finger, the whole nine yards. Those things are not to be. Definitely evil speaking and being this anger and bitter person, that is not righteous and that is not of the Father. So what we're going to do is check this thing out. We come right back to the book of Jude, brothers and sisters. But first, let's go into the book of Proverbs chapter 29. The book of Proverbs chapter 29. The book of Proverbs, chapter 29, and what we're going to do is pick this thing up at verse 22. You're going to read verses 22 and 23.
Proverbs 29, verses 22 and 23.
Amen.
An angry man stirreth up strife, and a fierce man aboundeth in transgression. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit.
Amen. So that anger and bitterness and stuff like that, man, that ain't not the Most High. There ain't no serving of God. It really ain't. So this stuff, this should not be a part of us. It's because when you put on these characteristics, who do you think you're behaving just like? With debate, smiting the fist, causing anger, bitterness, wrath, waggling, which means arguing. Who are you acting like? Let's find out who you act like. Let's go back into the book of Jude. The book of Jude. And all we want is verse 9.
Jude chapter 1 and 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, which contended with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee.
Now, this is what we need to understand here, because that verse can go so many ways and so many precepts. So when you discussing things or trying to hit up on a topic or whatever, we got to be careful of our behavior, because we all should understand that in certain things you talk about, depending on who you're talking to the thing about, they might be coming with some really irritating. They might be coming to us real irritating, you know, and speak against what we're being taught in a negative manner or whatever, laughing in your face, probably cussing at you, calling you all type of messed up, jacked up names. But Michael the Archangel just showed us how we're supposed to deal with people who act like that. Man, the Lord rebuke you. But what we need to do is let this word dispute up, so we understand how Satan the devil was talking against Michael. So it say this. It said, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending, right? So when facing with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a worldly accusation, but said the Lord rebuke thee. So what we need to do here is to find out about this word dispute, so we can understand how this conversation is going between these two spirits. So what we need to do is look dispute up, and I got it in two definitions. I got it in the noun, and I also got it in the verb. So the first thing we're going to do is look the dispute up in the noun, and it means a disagreement, argument, or debate. Synonyms: debate, falling out, argument, conflict, run in, and waggle, which means argument. So we need to understand, though, that that's the spirit of Satan the devil. So when you out and about trying to talk to some of these brothers who supposed to be in the truth and stuff like that, and they come to you so rash and hard, we need to understand that this is the same issues that Michael was dealing with when disputing about the body of Moses. We need to understand that this is the exact same conversation. Now we get the dispute in the verb, and it means clash. And clash means have a forceful disagreement. Altercate, which means a dispute or argument, noisy and publicly. So they don't care where you went. Just right here. No, you stupid. No, we're doing it like this way. We're doing it this way. Now, what I tell you, what you want to do? You want to fight? Who knows? But if we are serving the God, we got to be careful that we don't cross the line. Because even though Moses was the meekest man among his time, the children of Israel had the spirit on them. Michael did it right. Moses did it wrong. So we need to understand, when these people who crept in underwear, and these people have showed you and gave you undeniable proof that they are the tares, we got to be careful that we don't get ourselves cut off, and we're not dealing with their folly or badness. Know who they are and separate yourself from them. But that's that dispute thing, and I want to get more into this. So what we're going to do is go into the book of Proverbs chapter 29, the book of Proverbs chapter 29. The book of Proverbs chapter 29, and what we're going to do is read one verse, and that one verse is 11.
Proverbs 29 and 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards.
So a servant of God know how to hold his peace, know when to say when it's ready to be said, and they speak of things that is necessary for that time appointed. But a fool going to say whatever he want to say. So just imagine if a brother or sister came to us about, like, for example, let's see, for example, they came up with something that we don't agree with. You know, we're not going to utter our whole mind and tell them exactly how we feel, because we all understand that we was once there, and how it took, how the person that taught us gave us time and dedication and meekness and humble, and temperance and meekness. We understand we need to do the exact same thing as well. But when it comes to a person that the Bible considers a fool, no matter what they bring up, they might not know no better. But what we're going to do is try to trash and beat them down to the point that they never want to speak or talk to you again. He uttered everything in his mind. But the Bible said that's a fool. So no matter if you were saying it, if you was talking, if what you said was right, there's a time for everything under the sun. So if somebody believes that when they die, they go to heaven, you ain't got to beat and bash them down. Give them time. Let them see the fruits on your spirit so it can make them feel comfortable around you. Stick around for a little bit. Show them some love. Show them some mercy. Strengthen them and show them what they need to know. Not just attack and beat them down. No, your mama dead, man. No, that's a lie. False prophets talk like that. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got to do all that. But we can humble ourselves and understand that we used to be the exact same way. And it showed them some love and mercy, because they just simply don't know. So let's be mindful now. Let's take out another spot. Now what we're going to do is, we're going to the good one. Because we just read in Proverbs 29, verse 11. It said, a fool uttereth all his mind. Now let's look at a pure description of how a fool utter his mind. And what we also go understand is that they go know the Israel. They could be keeping a dietary law. They could be keeping the feast days. They go know that they Israel. They're gonna be doing all the things that be done to their son. And we're gonna see, according to this next scripture, how God gonna tell them up to peace. Even that they know. So the book of Matthew 13:24-30, let us know the wheat and tares. And what we're going to do is get a more full description of the wheat and tares and what they are able to do because they're around. So what we're going to do is go into the book of Numbers chapter 16. And Brother Cole, we got a lot of reading to do on this one. But I cut you off when necessary. There's a lot of reading we're going to do on this one. The book of Numbers chapter 16. Because we go read the whole chapter, but we might just break off one or two of them, two verses. We're in the book of Numbers, chapter 16. And what we're going to do is pick it up at verse 1 so we get an understanding of the wheat and the tares. Because this is a whole tear conversation with these people who know the Israel, the ones who know right from wrong. The ones who had positions in the body of Christ that helped the people. We're about to read about them. and to show us that this thing is far greater than just them people that go to church on Sunday. So we're in the book of Numbers chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 1 through 26. I will cut you off if necessary, bro. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Numbers 16, starting at the 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, the son of Dathan, and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the son of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then, lift up ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord.
All right, what really caught my attention reading this, it said in verse 2, it said, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. So they what? They got high positions. They got spots. They amongst the brethren. So now if these people is demolishing and poisoning the manners of the rest of the children of Israel, and the book is telling us to watch out for those who crept in unawares, and Jesus Christ is talking about the weeks of ten going all in together, how far-fetched is it to be more aware of when you go to on the class? The ones with the high great position or whoever. Ain't talking about nobody in particular, but just talking about a situation. They got the high position. They popular. Everybody know them. Everybody know them. Respect the men. Great men. But it doesn't mean they always straight. Go ahead and read, bro.
Verse 4. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and to all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doeth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto him.
So what's Moses telling you? You think what the Lord gave you was just a small thing? So they had great positions. Verse 2 already said they were popular men. You was good. You ain't good. The people, you popular. You got a position. You doing the work of the Most High. But what crept in? Envy. Envy crept in. And we all know when a little leaven can do what? Leaven a whole lump. A little bit of sin can destroy an entire dynasty. when that chair was going in so good with that wheat that it started pulling a lot of it. That man who crept in unaware and the Most High was still merciful enough to get those spots and positions, still figured out a way to corrupt himself. But all 200 some princes, even calling the rest of them, they all knew they was Israel. They all was keeping the dietary law. They all knew. They all was wearing the fringes. They all was keeping the law. They all was remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So what's that telling us? Just because you do those things does not mean that you're straight. Because we're forgetting all about the fruits of the Spirit. Go ahead and read, bro.
Verse 10. And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also, for which cause both thou and all the company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dothan and Abiram and the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards, without put out the eyes of these men. We will not come up. And Moses,
oh my gosh. So now we understand you got to be careful who you listening to. Because just because they're in a high power position, looking all good and nice and high, he's popular among all the people, does not mean he is all the way straight. Because one man came with folly and BS in his mind that he poisoned the rest of the prince. Now, they were probably straight, but just because they had the wrong ruler over them, started to poison their mind. So now they talking stupid. We got to be mad for this. Go ahead and read.
15. And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one as from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get ye up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins.
Now we see now, because of one man, one theft, one man envious of another man because of the great thing that God has put in his power and position. Matter of fact, two men, because they spoke against Aaron too. One man with his theft has poisoned a truckload of people off of his madness and folly, his philosophy, his vain and hubris knowledge. His way of thinking, knowledge, and understanding is about to get everybody killed. One tear, a little leaven, and we're about to see how a little leaven leavened the whole lump. Now, let's get down to verse 28. We might break this up some, but I'm just going to let you read, bro. Verse 28, when you get it, well, just keep on going, bro. Verse 28.
And Moses said, "Hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground cleaved asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up in their houses, and all the men that appertaineth unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, "Lest the earth swallow us up also." And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offer incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offer them before the Lord. Therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel." And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured.
Hey, Nakomi, that was good.
Yes.
We don't need to do all that. We don't need to do all that. Skip down to verse 4. We're going to read verse 49 and 50. Y'all can read the rest of the story on y'all own, because we already know what's going on. But let's go get down to nitty gritty. Skip down to verse. We're going to read verses 49 and 50. 49 and 50.
49. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed.
So you mean to tell me the Lord opened up the ground, Korah and all of them went up in there. The Lord had the fire and smoked a hole in all the prisons. But guess what? We got to come to consideration. Just because you in a high position don't mean that you straight. Because wasn't they famous in the congregation, men of renown? Were they popular? Were the people looking up to them? When they doing the work in the vineyard? You mean to tell me God just slaughtered every last one of them? Because just because you up in this truth don't mean you straight. In verse 49 said, now they that died in the plague were 14,700, besides them that died about the matter of Corinth. So one tear, one little bit of leaven, envious of one man, was able to deceive a flock of multitude of men because of Korah's philosophy, because of Korah's vain and humorous knowledge, because of his way of thinking, his point of finger, his smite with the fist, his debating, his waggling. Show God that he had the characteristics of Satan the devil when they were disputing with the body of Moses against his servant. So this is why we need to read this and understand that just because somebody knows the truth, just because they're teaching us the law, just because they're teaching us to keep the Sabbath day, just because we see them in the Sabbath day, don't mean that they correct. Don't mean that they necessarily straight. We got to be careful. Now, some other things I want to look at, too. And, Nicole, that was some awesome reading. Awesome reading. And how your reading was going, we will get out of here on time. Awesome reading. Now, what we're going to do is, let's go back a couple of them. Let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter 12. The book of Numbers, chapter 12. Because I want to read about this Miriam and Aaron thing. You know, and definitely, you know, this is whispering that they're doing. They're whispering, and then we're going to put this whole, we're going to come to the conclusion on something in a second. But we're in the book of Numbers, chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. When you get it, big bro, go ahead and read.
Numbers 12, starting at the 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, have the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Have he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently and not in dark speeches. In the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous.
Oh, so even the high priest's philosophy and they elder sister, who is a prophetess, philosophy don't mean a damn thing to God? Don't mean a damn thing to God. Now, this is one thing we really need to understand. If you know a brother putting in massive work in the vineyard for the Most High, even if he did slip off, hold your peace, because you should know that your license don't even come to a spectacle of what he's doing. That's just like these people when they, like for example, they somehow found out that you might have slipped off in the area or caught up in a little mind a little bit of sin. You go right back to that precept about the observation of a plaster saint only desiring a black dot on the whitening paper. That's all they see is that little bit of sin you did. But they ain't doing a damn thing in the vineyard. Ain't putting on no souls. Ain't working on no talents. Ain't doing nothing to help the body of Christ, but you got the audacity to put your own opinion into something. So even if a servant did slip up in the matter, that person should still shut their mouth because they ain't doing a damn thing. You ain't doing nothing but you talking. Ain't helping nothing. It might be a brother man doing poetry, could be doing artwork, and doing rapping, and reading, and putting precepts in together, and putting the outside work in the vineyard with the poor. You have lost your damn mind if you go speak evil against that person. Won't you be afraid to speak against somebody that's doing all the work in the vineyard and you ain't doing nothing? So even if they did have an ill will against what Moses was doing, they still should have their peace because they knew that they know for a fact that Moses talked to God Almighty face to face. How the hell could you say anything against him? Aren't you afraid to speak against Moses? You see, you don't see how I'm with him? You see, because when things happen to us, we got to wait a while. It might be a couple of years what Moses had to do for us. But Moses was instant, right there. You don't see how his face is shining? You don't see that glow in his face? You don't see that veil wrapped around his face? Because his face is shown, which means shining. He's so close to me that he got to cover himself among y'all. You not afraid to speak against him? We have lost our minds. Because if I know I ain't doing nothing in the vineyard and I'm just playing the Sabbath thing, keeping holy, if I had any type of common sense, I wouldn't say nothing. I wouldn't say a damn thing because I know I ain't doing nothing. So that means I have to keep my opinion. I have to keep my opinion in my back pocket. Now I need you to shut up because I don't even come close to what you're doing. May the Lord have a little more mercy on me to get it right. So we need to be mindful of that too. Now we have three more spots left in this precept because now we want to go back into this terror thing and to show you that this conversation is basically more on people who know the truth, people who know the Israel, people who keeping the law, people who keeping the statutes and supposedly keeping the commandments. We got to understand that this conversation talk about them too. So what we're going to do is read a famous script we like to go to, and that is the book of Acts chapter 6, the book of Acts chapter 6. And what we're going to do is pick up at verse 1, the book of Acts chapter 6, verse 1, so we can see how people who supposed to be in the truth treat people who aren't in the truth. The book of Acts chapter 6, verse 1, we read it 1 through 15. When you get it, big bro, go ahead and read it.
Acts chapter 6 and 1.
Yes, sir.
And in those days, when the numbers of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were negligent in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Porcherus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, in Cyrenians, in Alexandrians, and of them of the Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people.
1 second. It said in verse what? What was that? And they were not able to resist the women of school, and then they rejoined the men, saying they spoke against. In verse 9, they was disputing with Stephen. So what spirit you think that was on them if they was disputing with Stephen, knowing this man is chopping up the book in righteousness? Saying the devil, his spirit hopped on them people because he been disputing with Michael about the body of Moses. Ain't no telling for how long. But that's that same spirit who was disputing with Moses and Aaron, righteous prophets, those who know the truth, disputing with him. That same spirit, like saying the devil. Just be a little mindful, so I'm going to read, bro.
And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribe, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel.
Whoa, so I mean, we've seen how Satan the devil was disputing with Michael. We also seen how Korah was, and the princes and stuff was disputing against Moses and Aaron. And now we're looking at the same exact disputing when it comes to Stephen. But guess what? All the disputing we're talking about are people who's fighting and arguing with people who know the truth, who know the law, who know the dietary law, who know the Israel, who know the fringes deal. Everybody know the same thing. So why are they fighting and disputing with Moses or with Aaron? That same spirit that was on Satan the devil crept up on them too, and they got real wicked against Stephen and had themselves liars. Even though they looked at Stephen's face and seen it was the face of an angel, that still didn't mean a damn thing because they got to be who they are. They've got to be the tares. But we still got to remember what the book of Jude said. Men who crept in unawares. We also got to still remember the conversation when it came to the book of Numbers, chapter 16, verse 2. These men were great men. Well, great men in the outside of the people were famous throughout the congregation. All these people know, all these people got high positions. They all know the Israel. So how come we constantly keep looking at people that go to church on Sunday not seeing that this conversation is fit a little bit more onto our category? Chapter 7, verse 1 through 2, and we're going to skip. Acts 7, verses 1 through 2, and we're going to skip.
Acts 7 and 1. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he said, "My brethren and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt at Charan."
So basically, he just about to chop the whole nitty-gritty up. So we're not going to read all this, but what we're going to do is to skip down to verse 51. And we're going to read verses 51 through 60. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
51. "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost..."
Hold on one second, bro. Hold on one second. But if they were servants of the Most High God, how come they wasn't sorrowful? How come were they tears at? How come they didn't do what Nineveh did out there when Jonah told them what God was going to do to them? Did the whole city fast? How come the priest didn't fast? How come they didn't rip their clothes and throw a prayer to God to deliver them from their foolishness? How come they didn't? Because you got to be who you are. These are the ones who crept in unaware. This is the same conversation that Jesus Christ is constantly keep showing us the differences between the wheat and the tares. Same thing. Go ahead and read.
55. "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven and saw the Lord, the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, called upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep."
Just showing you how good a brother Stephen is. If somebody had a brick and tried to go across my head, might be a little rough for me to say, well, you know, hold this charge not against him. But then again, the same point of time is he got a chance to see God's glory. So it must have been so beautiful, no matter how bad you get your brains knocked in, you're looking at the glory of God. So it must just shows you how beautiful that thing really is. But just to be mindful on a couple of things, we got one more scripture left. Let's go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, and this will be last. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, just that one verse, and this will be last. Because now we need to get down to the nitty-gritty. and to understand that there's more that's written in the pages of the book that meet the eye and also what's being taught to us. So that's why it's very important to read this thing for yourself, get you a glossary, get you a Greek accordance, a Hebrew accordance, sit down and try to figure this thing out and pray to the Father so he can open your eyes up to the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. But this is the last spot, the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Now, one verse, you get it, big bro, go ahead and read.
2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen. And the only way to understand this conversation, you got to study so yourself approved. I ain't talking about perfecting your teachers or elders' lessons. I'm talking about you sitting down and you really open your heart and mind up to understand what the Father is trying to show you, regardless of how somebody brought it to you. Be smart enough to check this thing out for yourself. If the teachers if they go to the first chapter and read verses 1 and 2, it's your job to go back to that first chapter and read it from 1 all the way to the end to make sure it is something that, if it's really what it really is. So keep that in mind and understand that these wooden tears go a lot far greater than those who supposed to be going to church on Sunday, and understand that this conversation fit more of those who know the truth, those that know the Israel, those who keep in dietary law, those who understand the fringes, those who understand all these things we teach it. That does not mean that you got an automatic spot into the kingdom, because that is not enough information to see that man is righteous. You need to see them fruits of the Spirit. You need to see meekness. You need to see temperance. You got to see long-suffering. You got to see all those things as well to understand that this is a servant of the Most High God. But with that, I thank y'all for y'all time. And through the grace of God, somebody got some understanding after precept. I thank y'all for y'all time. Turn things over to Job and Sister Rhea.
Shalom, Israelite. Woo. Great precept.
Amen.
You know, we don't really pay attention. Well, I can say we don't, but, you know, we should pay more attention to the class instead of looking at the world. We should pay more attention to the camp instead of looking at the world. The problem is that we always point out the faults in the world. They don't keep the Sabbath day. They eat pork. They do all of these things. But inside the camp, you got insurrection. You got usurping authority. You got elders being dishonored. You got the word of God being blasphemed. You got all these things inside the camp. And we want to talk about the world. I don't think the God of Israel is concerned with the world right now when he said judgment is going to start in the house of God first. And so if judgment is going to start in the house of God first, that means he got to clean us up. And that means that we ain't clean. He got to clean us up. So I just want to say this, man. We in trouble as a people. All the stuff we're doing with each other, even in this 21st century, we are really in trouble. And it's all built around pride and what we think we are and what we think we got coming. The only thing we got coming is judgment. That's one thing we do know is coming. We just want to make sure that we're on the right side of that. Now, I yield the mic. Great precept, if you like.
Amen, amen, bro. Great wording. All you in the coming, man. Tight, man. Great reading, bro. Great reading.
Amen.
Thank you. Shalom.
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 Yeah, great lesson, brother. Great lesson. Yeah, I like lessons like this because, like I said, I've been an Israelite for 18 years, and it messes me up that my biggest problem that I have is with Israelites that know they're Israelites. Israel's biggest problem is with Israel. And when I think about that, like saying, I read the Apocrypha, and it says, Second Ezra, he said, we shouldn't even be concerned about the wicked and how they're going to be punished and when. He said, but we should be more concerned about the righteous and how they're going to be saved. So I don't like biting on Christians or Buddhists and Muslims. That's not really my thing to really even deal with them. Because, like I'm saying, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But when it comes to dealing with people that actually know they're Israel, and because I live in a community where there's a lot of Israelite camps, and I actually go downtown on the weekend and teach at the library where there's a lot of other Israelites, they have a very big problem with me and with other Israelites that don't have the same, they're not in the same camp and don't have the same name and all of those type of things. You might have friends on, you might not. I'd be happy I'd be overjoyed in thanking God that I just see other people that know who they are and turning to do lost as the commandments of God. But when they see me or they see, oh, where are your friends at, or where's this, and you know, all these, they go into a whole bunch of things except for saying, they're for one of my brothers that know he's one of my brothers. They're so concerned about so many things. Instead of wondering, hey, this dude is trying to do what I'm out here trying to get people to do, he already doing that. Yeah, it might be everybody got their little piece of something, doctrine that's a little different. Like I'm saying, if you've been doing this after a while, you shouldn't be concerned with that. You should be concerned that that's my brother, that's my sister, that found themselves. God gave them a chance to find themselves. Now they got a chance to make it to the kingdom because he giving them a chance to do the law, statutes, commandments with the testimony of Jesus Christ. So I love lessons like this because we need lessons like this, and hopefully we find it in our heart to, no matter what an Israelite got on, no matter what I'm saying, if he believe in some other little things, and that we understand that them are our brothers, and we should be thanking God that they found out who they are. So with that, I yield the mic.
Amen, amen. I'm all glad with you and Brother Job. All praise to the Father. All praises, all praises. Amen. Do you have anybody else that would like to say anything and add on to the precept or any testimonies?
Amen. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Loud and clear. Hey, Sister Will.
Shalom. Great precept, Brother Isaiah, and great reading, Brother Nakomi, and great precept last night, Brother Nakomi. I had multiple dreams from your lesson. The wheat and the terror. So I just want to say this really, really quick while I still have the breath of life in me. The Lord showed me these past couple of months that I was judgmental, a judgmental person, a hypocrite. And like I'll keep saying it as long as I have breath in my life, that I thank the Father for the Sounds of Living Water ministry. I thank the Father for my husband. I thank the Father for Brother Nakomi, Brother Isaiah, Brother Horace Miles, Brother Paul. Every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I'm praying for Monday and Tuesday that we're on 7 nights a week, but every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I thank the Father that I am able to tune in to get some type of light, some type of precept, some type of doctrine from you brothers to keep me on the straight and narrow path. As Sister Mary says, I don't care. As long as I'm in the back of the bus, I'm on the bus. I'm in the back. I'm good. Spooches.
Oh, amen.
Anyway, The wheat and the tare, I just learned that, and especially these past couple of years, and I just said, Father, every day you allow me to wake up, it's a new day. Whatever I did yesterday or whatever I experienced yesterday, that was yesterday. So today you allow me to wake up, so I'm a better person. I know how to deal with it, whatever happened yesterday and today. And the wheat and the tare, we do have to grow together, and I see that. I just got to say this, too. I have sisters and brothers contacting me about certain situations and things in their lives, and I'm like, are you serious? And I'm like, okay, Lord, they see me in a certain light, and they don't know that I'm experiencing the same things that they're experiencing, but they don't know that, and I'm not going to tell them that, but they're like, Sister Rhea, you know, this, and I'm like, okay, Jesus, what do you want me to say? And the wheat and the tare, we have to grow together. There's so much I want to say, and it's a time and a place for everything under the sun. I just want to say, Brother Isaiah, thank you for this lesson. This has been a really blessed day from the time that I woke up until this point of this precept. It's just really been a blessing. Thank you, Father. It really has. So the wheat and the tare are coming together. I don't know. I can look at somebody, I can look at them and say, oh, that brother, that sister, da-da-da-da, you know, whatever in my mind, or say it out loud, and it may not be true. Mm-hmm. The Lord might have them going through certain things and situations to bring them to a certain point. And they might be the wheat, and I might be the tare. I'm really seeing that now. I'm learning not to judge anything, anybody. If something's going down, you pray for them. And if they're not on that straight and narrow path, if they're not being a light at that time, then you separate yourself. That doesn't mean they may not be the light later on, but right now at that time, they may not be the light. So if you see that they're not trying to strive and be on that straight and narrow path, you just say, okay, I'll see you later. I'll pray for you. From a distance, you're over there, I'm over here, and that's that. But to sit here and judge somebody or say you're a tear and you're this and you're that and you did this and you're constantly doing that and da-da-da, and the Lord said this and this is your end, you never do that, because the Lord said he's going to have mercy on whom he has mercy. And in these last couple of months, the Lord is really telling me he's teaching me about spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare is real. That's why he tells you to put your armor on. That's why he has the book of Ephesians written about your armor, your shield. This is a serious thing. So if every morning everybody wakes up and they thank the Lord for the breath of life, and they say the Lord's Prayer, his will, not our will, and they put their armor on, read Ephesians chapter, what is it? 6 or 10? Put your armor on daily in Jesus' mighty name. Then he can use you. He can use you because you're being sincere and you're being repentant and you're really trying to do the right thing. I don't know. My thing from your lesson this evening is the wheat and the tare have to grow together. We don't know. Sometimes we're so, we think that we have it all, we know it all, just because we're keeping all the feast days and the Sabbaths and on, you know, reading our scriptures, that we're just the Don Juan, we're just the it. And we're not. We're just the opposite of it. We're the shit. Sorry, but we are. So my thing is, we need to be very careful every day that you wake up and the Lord allows you to wake up to see another new day. I advise everyone to fall on their knees and say, thank you, Father, and say the Lord's Prayer and say, Lord, not our will, but your will be done. And Lord, let me be a light. Use me. Use me for your glory. Let me be that light in this dark world. Because we walk what? My husband taught, we walk in the valley, the shadow of death. And he showed us what that shadow was. Ooh, that was a powerful piece, what the shadow of the valley of death was. And what death represented.
What was that? When this
you were happened? Working. You were working. No, I think you read one night, but I think you were reading, but I think you missed an episode of that.
Oh.
At the same time. But that was a powerful.
I would remember that.
So my thing is.
Not the Sabbath day. I'm wrong. Probably the.
What was that?
No, apologies. That was a Friday night that the Father had allowed us to deal with that and bring that up. So no, you didn't get a chance to receive that at that date.
What's Sister Ray? Could you send me that link? I want to check that out. So I'm off to mine too.
Oh, you're off?
Oh yeah, I'm off to mine.
Oh, do you want to read for my King Priest tomorrow?
Oh, what for the Friday preparation?
Mm-hmm. If you're available, yeah. If not, you're definitely available Saturday and Sunday. I know.
Oh, Saturday and Sunday. My job has already threatened me that I need to come in. While
oh,
be out
never
of a
mind.
Job, so.
If you're available
yeah.
tomorrow, you want to read for him
oh,
tomorrow.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. But I'm just saying that the Lord showed me, Rhea, don't judge, don't assume, don't none of those things, because you might be going to the lake of fire, and that person that you're looking at will come into my kingdom. And so right now I'm just really just being still, and I thank the Father for you brothers. And every time you brothers do a lesson, it's just like a razor blade and lemon juice. I'm getting cut all over the place. And it's beautiful cuts. I thank the Father for that because I could be in the darkness like everybody else right now, and I'm not. So I'd rather be cut. And it's not cut. And it's I'd rather be cut like this than to, what did he do? He died on the cross for us. You want to die like that, or do you want to be cut here and there and repent?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to die like Jesus died for your sins, or do you want to be cut here and there? So I'd rather be cut here and there and repent and cry out and ask for mercy and forgiveness than to die like the Father did in Jesus' mighty name. So thank you for this lesson. I'm telling you right now, brothers and sisters, no judgment here. I am really looking at myself, and I'm like, I got a long way to go. And I really wish, not wish, but I don't know, I shouldn't be afraid, but I think I'm going to write a book. And I need to tell everybody and show everybody what
Go
I've been
ahead.
Through. I'm serious. I need to write a book. And no holds barred. I don't need to be ashamed or embarrassed. And people need to be delivered. And me and another sister were talking about a deliverance ministry. And we really need deliverance in Israel. We need deliverance. We need to be honest with one another. We need to have a council. I don't know. It's time for deliverance. Spiritual warfare is real. It's real out here. It's getting really real. And I'm going to yield the mic, but I just want to say thank you, Brother Isaiah. Thank you, Brother Nakomi. Thank you, King Priest, Horace Miles, Brother Paul. You guys are really on one accord. You gentlemen don't even talk to each other, and it's like your messages gel, your precepts gel together. And that's the Holy Spirit, and it's from God. So I thank the Lord for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sis, that's very powerful. Thank you for your input for the precept tonight. Thank you. All right, do we have any more that would like to add on to the precept or testimony? Now is your time, or forever hold your peace. All right.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Sister Mary.
Okay, when the father buried the 14,700 people, is that a Bible code?
Well, you got to follow online.
Yes, it is.
That's what I thought. Thank you.
No. So you need to explain that. What scripture are you reading, and explain how that's a Bible code.
It's the last place that Isaiah was at.
Right.
When you're dealing with Koridim, it was the very last scripture, and you talked about 14,700, which is 147. Yeah.
Right. That's the people that the earth opened up and swallowed them, 14,700.
Mm-hmm. So that means that's a three. That's a father event right there. That's a three.
Yeah.
What was the number again? What was that number?
14,700.
Which is three? Is that 147?
Yes, 147 is LICO.
Uh-huh. 147, and what's the common, is it three?
Yeah, you know, 147 is 12, which is three.
12. Amen, Sister Mary, I love you. So what does that represent again, Brother Nakomi?
That's light, but light. That's anything with threes like that. And then when I'm saying, and what swallowed them up?
The earth.
Okay, what happened on the third day? Earth.
Earth.
Ooh.
Go back to creation. Mm-hmm. What happened on the third day?
Ooh.
Go ahead, Nicole.
Nah.
And then what went in the earth? A number six. What came from the earth? Man.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We're in the right place at the right time. And, ooh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Ooh.
I just always say the Father know what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
We the one got a problem. He know what he's doing.
That's right.
We the one trying to play catch up. Well, that's all I have to ask. Thank you so much.
It's just like Cain and Abel. Cain brought a number three. Abel brought a number six.
Wow.
Cain brought the things that came from the ground. That's the third day. Abel brought the thing. He brought animals, which came the same day we did, was sixth day. And then he went back to the earth, which is when he went to number three. Went back to the earth.
Hmm. Amen.
I have to agree with Sister Ray. I am lucky to be in this position, the spot where I am now, learning the word of God, and I praise him for anointing you guys with his word. I really do, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm, Sister Mary, you're blessed. You're not lucky. Amen. You're blessed, honey. You're not lucky. You are blessed.
Well, I meant that, too. I made it use the wrong choice of words, but, yeah, I meant that all that, too. I mean,
you know,
it's good to be. It's a good thing to know the word of God.
Amen.
It's a good thing to learn the word of God.
Ooh, amen. You are called. Me and you are called, but few are chosen. Amen. Mm-hmm. You are chosen, Sister Mary. Amen.
Well, I said thank you, Paul. I give him a smooch.
Amen.
Okay, I'm done. That's all I have to say. And thank you guys for the lesson. Good reading, Brother Nakomi. And thanks for helping answer my question.
You're welcome, sister.
Long.
Shalom, big bro.
Shalom. Shalom, Israelite. Hey, I just wanted to bring up one other thing, man. When you're talking about the tares, you're talking about the wheat. Moses was wheat, and Korah and those that had that spirit on them were considered tares.
Absolutely.
And look what it cost him getting into the kingdom. So you really got to be careful of who you're around. They may be tares. They may not get you to sin in the light that Moses sinned, but you may end up sinning in another sin that may be even worse. So, yeah, we got to be careful.
And you know what, Joe? I'm glad you said that too, bro. Because I think through the grace of God, sometime, probably maybe Lord's willing next week, you know, to bring a precept together or to show the people how to deliver themselves and also how to deal with tares, because we all going in together. I think it'd be very necessary to teach for the Lord to teach us what and how to do if you're in a situation like that. I'll get a mic.
Amen.
Because when we look at the wheat and the tares and they say this will grow in together, people might think and believe that they got to be stuck around them 24/7. But what I think
right.
is very necessary for us to understand the scriptures, you know, and how to deal with situations like that. You know,
amen.
Like, for example, if you were 10-year mean man, the Bible said to what? Make no friendship with a mean man. You can say you're high, you're
right.
bad, and gone by your business.
Mm.
You know, so it's so many, you know, say, I think it's very necessary for us to look through the scriptures and to put something together to show people what they can do if they're around people like that or in a situation like that. You know, I'm glad you said that. I get the mic.
Amen. Well, I want to say, hey, great precept, Brother Isaiah. Great job reading, Brother Nakomi. You can catch your Brother Nakomi. He had to sound a little wide every Thursday night. I mean, every Wednesday night. At the Nation of Peace, out of Minneapolis, bringing that kingdom state of mind. And you can catch your Brother Isaiah every Thursday night. With the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study class here at Sunday. I want to thank both of these brothers for bringing a wonderful message. And tomorrow you want to be here again here at 7 o'clock p.m. on Sounds of Living Waters for the Commonwealth of Israel. And tomorrow, precept is the Spirit of Adultery Part 2. The Spirit of Adultery Part 2. And yeah, we're going in on it this time, and it may get, you know, if you commit an adultery, you're not going to like it. And that's okay. You know, I didn't like myself either for a long time. But this is the Word of God. So when you hear the Word of God, you repent. You know, he said, today, if you hear his word, harden not your heart. So we're going to be dealing with some things, man. We're going to be dealing with sins, with ignorance, and presumptuous. We're still going to be dealing with some of those things because adultery is presumptuous. That's a willful sin. And there is no sacrifices for willful sin or presumptuous sins. There's no sacrifice for that at all. There is a payment, and that's what we want to deal with that this Sabbath day. Also here at Sounds of the Lord, that'll be on the Sabbath day at 10 o'clock a.m. when we start dealing with those things, the consequences of a presumptuous and the ignorant, what is the consequences? Presumptuous, there is no sacrifice, but there is a payment. And a payment is way up the food chain. And I just don't think people want to pay that. When you look at what it really costs, you would really think twice about before you commit a sin such as adultery or murder or even sneaking somewhere to commit idolatry. So you want to be in on that. So, and once again, you want to catch our brother Miles on Friday, Saturday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. That is Yah's Global Kingdom. So with that being said, I want to thank our brother Isaiah Brown of the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class, the tears in the best week, bruh.
Man.
That's the number for that Hubris knowledge. Amen. That's a big chapter for that Hubris knowledge. That there, that's a great, great, great precept. With that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sound of the Living Waters, do what?
Read
your Bible.
Amen.
In Jesus'
name.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Genesis to Revelation, preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Do the most high laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth? It will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.